Transfiguration is the last Sunday in Epiphany, the season of the church calendar that falls between Christmas and Lent. And it's a season that's full of stories about Jesus' divinity being revealed or affirmed. Moments where a glimpse of heaven seems to break in. Heart-soaring moments. Moments like the ones we've been remembering this morning. In Matthew's account, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John with him up a mountain. There, Jesus' appearance changes. His face and clothes shine with bright light. Moses and Elijah appear and seem to speak with him. Then a bright cloud overshadows them, and a voice speaks from the cloud, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." If those words sound familiar, it may be because there's a similar moment in the Gospels where a voice speaks from heaven. Can you remember where that is?
Baptism.
Well done. Yeah, at Jesus' baptism. So Jesus' earthly ministry is bookended by these two moments of affirmation, like a seal of divine approval, heard and remembered and retold by his disciples. It's a confirmation of Jesus's vocation, and it reminds me a little bit of events in our church 2 weeks ago. We weighed and tested a call to ministry, listening for the Spirit steering. In the URC, it's a process that involves the whole community. We tried to listen with open hearts. We conferred with one another. Did you hear what I heard? Did you see what I saw? What did you feel? In today's service, we will welcome Hannah into membership of this church. She has told me about how she found her way here and found a home here, and the ways in which she has sensed God leading and affirming this. Today, we get to formally give our seal of approval and promise Hannah our friendship and support. Hannah has given me permission to share that she is exploring a call to ordained ministry, and today is a step on that journey. It's a privilege to preach on the Transfiguration, but it's also a daunting task. How can I explain or interpret an event that seems so sacred and so strange? Perhaps I shouldn't even try. Perhaps in the presence of God's glory, silence is the only appropriate response. Trying to contain the experience with words is a bit like Peter's clumsy suggestion of erecting some tents to house Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. That's why this morning I have asked you to remember your own experience of God. Memories live not just in our heads, but also in our bodies. Faith is more than an intellectual assent to a set of creedal statements. In memory and experience, we connect with a different kind of knowing, one that comes to us through our senses. And that's also why poetry is words, but words of a different kind. Poems don't seek to categorize or explain or pin things down. They point beyond. They leave space. They invite participation in meaning making. They hold truth with an open hand, not a closed fist. I don't have a great or refined knowledge of poetry. I have a few favourite poets that I turn to again and again. And if I was forced to choose just one, it would be the grumpy Welsh clergyman R.S. Thomas. His poems are full of longing for God, full of doubt and despair. In his poems, God's absence looms large. both compelling and infuriating. But there are startling, fleeting glimpses of God's presence too. In the way that sunlight falls to illuminate a field or quivers on a bare wall, in the prayer-soaked interior of an old stone chapel, in the pull to keep on watching and listening and waiting, in a tantalizing movement caught in the corner of his vision, kindling a fragile hope. Experiences of God can be few and far between. They are deeply personal. They are difficult to describe and easy to dismiss as our imaginations getting carried away. Our Reformed tradition is not one that places great emphasis on mysticism or religious experience. And of course, most of us here are British, so we don't really go in for that sort of thing. And yet, the Bible is full of moments like these. Moses and the burning bush, Mary and the angel, Jacob wrestling with a stranger, Saul on the Damascus road, encounters with the holy. And on every occasion, the individual comes away changed, the path of their life altered. What message do today's passages of Scripture hold for us? After all, these God experiences tend to arrive out of the blue and have nothing whatsoever to do with our deserving them. I don't believe that they are a heavenly reward for the strength of our faith or a measure of our success as Christians. I do suggest this. They are a gift. We need to carry these mountaintop glimpses with us because we will need them to sustain us when we go back down the mountain and into the valley. In the last two verses of our gospel reading, the prophets, the voice, the light emanating from Jesus, all of it disappears as suddenly as it had come. Jesus and the disciples begin their journey back down the mountain, back to earth, back to the routine and the ordinary struggle and monotony of daily life. Jesus tells the disciples not to speak of their experiences just yet. I wonder whether they needed to be told. I wonder whether they were already trying to rationalize what they had just experienced, dismissing it as a trick of the light, the exhaustion of the climb. I wonder whether they would have felt embarrassed trying to describe what they had seen and felt. Sometimes these things feel too personal, too precious, and too fragile to share. We don't get to spend all our time on the mountaintop. Despite Peter's bold suggestion, we don't build dwelling places up there. And even if we did, we could not domesticate God. The path of faith has ups and downs. Lush, green, fertile places and stretches of dry desert. Last Sunday, Richard spoke about God in hiding. There will be times when for us, like for R.S. Thomas, God will seem to be nowhere to be found. In the church's time, we're about to enter the dry desert of Lent, the time of trial and temptation, the place where we come face to face with ourselves. The mountaintop will seem like a distant dream. Where have you encountered God? When have your senses been filled up with a love that overflows? Remember those glimpses. Carry them with you. Treasure them in your heart. May they sustain us in the valleys and in the desert places. Amen.